Hey Alexa, what's the definition of hustle?
To be aggressive, especially in business or other financial dealings.
You're listening to the H for Hustle podcast, designed to inspire future entrepreneurs to take the leap from working for someone else to pursue their passions and side hustles and turning them into full-fledged businesses. My name is Jerome Fenton. I'm a serial entrepreneur. Every week, I'll be speaking with an entrepreneur that has taken that leap. We'll be talking about the lessons they've learned and how they've turned their passions and side hustles into full-fledged businesses. H for Hustle Podcast, welcome back. Another illustrious episode up ahead. Guys, I just want to say thank you so much for listening, for riding with H for Hustle, for growing with us, for going through the bumps, the ups, and the downs, for riding through a crazy 2020 with us. So guys, continue to grow with us. Also, if you can, go over to iTunes, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a review of the actual podcast. It really helps the growth of the podcast, and I really appreciate it if you guys can go over there. Also, number two, go to youtube.com, type in H4Hustle. Go over there, check out some of our YouTube videos. We're going to be converting some of these podcasts into smaller form interviews over there. So if you like the podcast and you want to see what the guest looks like, go over to YouTube. But we're also going to have a whole bunch of other type of content over there as well. So please go over there, check the YouTube out, H for Hustle. Just go over there, type it in, hit subscribe, and you know, leave a comment, like one of our videos, say whatever you want. YouTube viewers tend to be really nasty, but I know H for Hustle listeners are really nice, so just go over there and leave a nice comment, guys. So today's episode, we have Jason Wright, the founder of Intentionally Inspirational, and what a story Jason has. It's kind of an interesting one because Jason knew he didn't like working for other people, but he didn't know exactly what he was going to do, but he knew he just couldn't work for others. And he had a job, he quit his job, he thought he was going to be able to make money, he wasn't able to make money, he had to go back to work, and he was able to figure it out along the way until he was able to transition fully into entrepreneurship, and he turned a side hustle into a full-time thing. And it's a great story. Definitely tune in. I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's get into it right now. Boom. H for Hustle Podcast, welcome back. We have another illustrious guest today. Today we have Jason Wright, the founder of Intentionally Inspirational. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. Excited to be here.
So Jason, if I was to meet you at a Zoom dinner at this point, right? Like, what would you say you do for a living?
So when people ask me that, I say I do digital marketing. I keep it very, very surface level, and most people don't dig deeper. But if I tried to explain it, people's eyes glaze over right away. So
got it. But since you're talking to you, what does Intentionally Inspirational do for their clients?
Yeah, well, we really help people understand the sales funnel, kind of from a very easy to grasp level, and then we help them build that. So it's strategy and architecture both. Sales funnel being how can we get people into your audience, whether it's growing your email list or growing your circle of influence, how can we engage them regularly, and how can we make you more money as well.
Got it. And do you work with a specific group of clients or just entrepreneurs in general?
So it's a great question. It's people always say, you have to have a niche. I don't really have a niche by industry. I have a niche by platform that I work with, which is kind of interesting. But generally, I work with entrepreneurs who are making, you know, 200 grand in revenue up to 50 million. So it could be entrepreneurs into small businesses from the service side. But I do talk to tons of startups, tons of people wanting to make that leap and stuff as well. So
got it.
Kind of the broad spectrum.
So if somebody's working with like a click funnel, do you help them kind of grow from there?
I can. It depends where they're at and what they're wanting out of it. Sometimes we jump on a call and maybe it's not a great fit, but I'll say, hey, here's some advice that's going to point you in the right direction for sure. So it really depends on where they're at and where they're trying to go.
Got it. All right. So let's go all the way back before you were, founder of this company. Yeah. What was your job before you did all of this?
Yeah. So in the corporate world, I was in the corporate world for about 7-8 years. I was in HR, I was in safety, and I was in sales. The one thing that's the same among all those is the people aspect. So I've always loved people. I've always been great with connecting people and communicating. So that was something I always knew I liked. But You know, none of those roles have really anything to do with what I do now, which is kind of funny, but the people aspect is the same. So, yeah, hope that answers your question there.
Yeah. Okay. So you did HR, you did sales, and then you did what else?
A little bit of safety. So sometimes HR roles are kind of paired up with safety, and I did one standalone safety role as well.
Nope. Got it. So, all right, let's go back. You're doing HR, you're doing safety. Where does digital marketing play a part in this? How does that even connect?
But before I answer that, I have to just step back a bit further. So when I was about 14 years old, I remember my passion in life at that time was basketball and fishing. It's all I wanted to do. And at a certain point with the fishing tackle, my mom's like, I'm not buying you anymore. You've got enough stuff. And I'm like, Mom, there's new stuff that's out. You don't understand. She's like, you're not listening. I'm not buying anymore. So if you want more tackle, go get a job, go make money. Right. So I was like, man, I need to get this stuff now. How can I make money right now? And we lived in a cul-de-sac, and I can remember looking at these three neighbors from my front window that never mowed their lawn regularly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I got an idea. So I went over there and I said, hey, what do you think about me cutting your grass every week? You know, I've got all the equipment to do a great job. You don't have to worry about it. And they all said yes. So I started making $75 a week at 14 right away. And I could start funding my passion, which was fishing at the time. So I got that taste of entrepreneurship very young.
Got it. Okay.
And then we go back to, you know, I went through college, had a landscaping company, and it got big enough. I was like, either you need to shut this down or I need to go into the corporate world. And everybody that I listened to said, you've got to get a job. You have no choice, you know? So
why? You were running a landscape company in college. It was paying for you to go through, you know, like giving you money in your pocket. You had a crew of people, I'm guessing.
So it was me and another guy. And I got to a point where I needed a second standalone crew. So it was like, I either double the size of things or I pull out because I can't do everything. I'm tapped out. But everybody in my world, they were all employee-minded people.
Got it.
Any entrepreneurs, my family didn't have anybody around me that really understood. They knew people, but they just like didn't make it an option for me.
Yeah. It also, they couldn't see it for you, and mm-hmm. you couldn't see it for yourself at that point either.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. So I was like, this is the safe route is what I thought at the time, you know?
Got it. So you just shut it down or did you?
I shut it down. I remember sitting at my desk. It was my parents' basement. I typed up this letter and I was like, literally effective immediately. I'm out. Here's why. And I sent out all these letters, and then like a week later, it's all gone. I was just like, okay. So I still have some of the equipment. I had the equipment for years, but.
Wow. So where did your business partner at the time, the other guy that doing, he shut it down with you as well?
So he wasn't a partner. He was part-time help. So I just let him know, say, hey man, we're done. So he was all right. He was young enough that he didn't have a whole lot of bills or anything, but.
Got it.
It was pretty weird because I was going to school full-time then and not feeling real excited about much. I'm like, I don't really want to dance to the beat of somebody else's drum, you know?
Yeah. So at this point, let me just ask, like, how much money were you making in college with this lawn care service?
I was making so I don't remember the exact amount, but I had two brand new cars and I lived at home and, you know, I had money to pay for that stuff and the insurances and have all the fun I wanted. So I made enough to live a good life for my age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was at this
point. So it was like anywhere between like 30,000, 40,000, probably.
Something like that. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So then you decide to shut it down. You move on and then you go into corporate America, I'm guessing. So what did you do there? Is that where you got into HR?
Yeah. So I got into HR first. I got my degree in organizational leadership and supervision. And I was like, all right, there's people. I can go HR. I can go sales. These are things that I think interest me. So I get out there and right away, you know, within a year or two, start seeing the effects of the corporate ladder and people doing things to advance more quickly than others. I'm like, this is all just a game. Like, this is a game. And I'm spending all my time building somebody else's company. So it right away didn't feel very natural for me. It kind of tugged at, are you sure you want to do this type of thing inside of me right away? So, So HR was most of that corporate experience, but getting into some sales is probably a good thing for what I do now as well. But yep.
Got it. Okay. So then when do you make that transition? When do you start thinking about digital marketing as a thing? You're in HR. It doesn't quite like correlate. So mm-hmm. how does that start? That bug starts getting planted.
Digital marketing was actually a complete accident. So as the last job that I had in corporate, the first time I quit twice. The first time I quit, I was working for this entrepreneur who had built a company making $300 million a year.
Wow. Right?
And this guy was not a nice human being. Okay. I didn't like the person he was. I felt dirty working for him, but my thought was, if he can make $300 million a year, surely I can pay my bills working for myself. I don't want to do this anymore. So how am I going to make my escape? How am I going to work from home? I was commuting 2 hours a day. Didn't really like what I was doing. You know, one boss says this, the other boss yells at me for doing it. I was like, I don't want to do any of this. So how do I get out of here? So I found this opportunity starting neighborhood magazines. And you basically, you know, work as part of this company as an independent contractor. You get these neighborhoods in this magazine. The advertisers basically pay to make the magazine print, and you get some revenue on the back end as well.
Is that so, like a Valpak like type of thing?
It wasn't a Valpak. It was more of one specific magazine. So this was through Best Version Media. Okay. There's a couple other competitors out there like it. And there's nothing wrong with that company, but my heart wasn't in it. Right. But I got my wife, surprisingly, I got her on board with it. And she's like, yeah, I think we can do this. Let's roll. Let's see if we can quit the job and do this. So I was making $80,000 at that last job in HR. And I thought I would be back up to $80,000 that pace in 3 months.
Wow.
No idea where I came up with 3 months, but that's what I told her. And I was like, I'm gonna make it happen. So I quit that job, went and bought a brand new Infiniti the next day with no job, and then started down this path. Right. 2.5 months later, we're broke and I've got nothing to show for it.
Wow.
So, you know, really desperate times, really stupid. Don't ever quit your full-time job to start something from scratch. It's unproven. It's a horrible idea.
And then get a new car right on top.
Yeah. But a bunch of bad decisions there. So, but I was asleep one night in this process, and I woke up out of a dead sleep, and I just said the word, you know, the words intentionally inspirational. And I said, I have no idea what that means, but I think it's going to change my life. So it eventually ended up being kind of the company or the brand I was building, but I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what I was trying to do. So I actually got started with intentionally inspirational blogging to people, encouraging them to quit their jobs. Even though I hadn't been successful, I was telling other people to do it. And I was like trying to empower people and screw the man and all this stuff. And I was like, I kind of feel like a fraud, but I'm not, because that's what I'm working towards. I'm going to make it happen. Yeah. But I had no idea what I was doing. And then somebody asked me, they said, what's the business model here? How do you make money? And I was like, oh yeah, I guess that's important too. Huh? No idea.
So I started, what were you doing to sustain yourself income wise at this time?
Well, I had to beg a family member to buy us food, because I was like, I literally can pay nothing. And she's like, you're an idiot. I'll help you for a few months with food. So I went to FedEx, got a job throwing boxes for insurance. I was making $90 a week. I was doing landscaping in the neighborhood. I was doing anything I could do to just make money. And I eventually had to go back to corporate America. After about 5 months, I was like, I've got to do something. Like, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
So I went back into some sales roles, CarMax, some other sales roles as well.
And then you're still writing the blog and trying to get people to build your audience, build your brand. Okay.
So I'm doing the blog, I'm doing the podcast, and then I start learning a little bit of marketing for myself. Like, if I can get this in front of more people and I can build an audience, I might be able to monetize that audience by helping them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I start learning some basic marketing that way. And I can remember being on Upwork, looking for copywriting jobs, article writing jobs. And I'd make a little bit of money writing once in a while. And then I started noticing people looking for help with ClickFunnels and ActiveCampaign and these programs I had just learned myself. And some people were like, hey, even if you don't know how to do it, if you're willing to do it, I'll pay you, basically. I'm like, wow. That sounds like on the job training for me. So I'm in. So I started committing to these projects, and I would put in the work and find out how to do it. It may take me 10 times longer than I thought, but I was able to get 5-star reviews. And then I started seeing the value. If I can keep doing this, and I get a ton of reviews, I think I can make people come to me. And that's what I've done. I've built this machine of social proof that attracts warm leads every week. And we figured out kind of our value in all this over the course of time. But
got it. So you just slowly built yourself on Upwork. Used a freelance site to like literally build up your audience and
absolutely
build up your revenue base. And you were learning by what? Like going YouTube, taking courses? Like how were you educating yourself?
Google search and YouTube. So ClickFunnels and ActiveCampaign both are two examples of companies that have great help articles. Mm-hmm. So like many things in life, if you're willing to put in the work, you can find the answers.
Yeah.
Most people are unwilling to do anything, you know? So.
And what the clients were paying you for was the time that to actually learn it because they didn't want to learn it themselves.
Yeah. Like everybody says the same thing. Well, I could learn it. I just don't have time, or I don't want to. Either way, it doesn't matter. You're not going to do it. So, but then like, you know, the bigger money came when I started to understand marketing strategy. Once I got really good at architecture, I was able to quit corporate America and just build a business off that. But then I've realized, hey, there's more opportunity for impact, more opportunity for revenue with the strategy piece, because it's further reaching and it's a higher value perceived service for sure.
Got it. So instead of just building out the funnels for them, it's good sitting on the layer on top of it saying, hey, let me show you how to properly do this as a service. And then we can construct it on below. So you became like the consultant and the executor of it.
Absolutely.
Got it. Okay. And so how long before you jumped back into corporate America and then you're learning this, how long before you, I guess, make that transition? How long did it take to like learn everything and still go to work and everything?
Yeah. So there's about a 2.5 period where Intentionally Inspirational as a brand existed and I would make sporadic income. Like I didn't make steady part-time income until about 2.5 years. And then I finally got to a point where I was like, I think there might be a full-time business here. And my wife is not an entrepreneur. And I can remember it was March and my last job in corporate was at a mortgage company. And my boss is real cool. He's like, dude, I'm rooting for you. I want you to quit when you can. You know, he knew what I was doing and he was fine with it. And I would tell everybody who hired me, like, I might be here a week. I might be here a year. I have no idea. And they would hire me, which was interesting. But I can remember my wife, I came home one day and she's like, how much money are you making this month in the mortgage? And I tell her whatever it was. I was like $1,500. And she's like, how much are you making in the side business? I have $3,000. She's like, quit. And I was like, what? She's like, before I change my mind, you better just do what I'm saying and quit. And I was like, let's go. So that was
like, hey boss, I'm done.
Yeah. So I gave him notice and they said, you know, you don't even need to stay, just leave. And I was like, okay. So right away that first year I started in March, I hit 6 figures in revenue that first year, starting in March from December. So pretty cool. And then you just pivot and, you know, people try to figure out, oh, what's my niche? They try to figure out all these questions or these answers, but sometimes you have to let your customers tell you what they want. You go, I never thought about that. Maybe pivot and cater to this a little bit. Yeah. So
you were almost like letting it come to you instead of going after it. Like whatever showed up the most, you went ahead and focused on it.
Yep. If it showed up the most and I actually enjoyed doing it. So there's definitely things that I can make money with, but I don't enjoy it. So it's like, why do it? You know, when you can get to that point and be very selective, it's a lot of fun. But entrepreneurship, from when you first think about it until you get in, it's just a journey. And it's just, it's going to wind around and have ups and downs and change constantly. But journey is what's fun, man.
I had to jump into episode really quickly, guys, to tell you about True Digital Design. So, you know, we're in the new year and everyone always says new year, new me. I'm going to build my business. I'm going to grow. I'm going to do this. And the way to do that is have a website. A website is a piece of real estate you own on the internet, a place that you can control. You can control the algorithm of your own website. And, you know, when I was trying to build h4hustle.com, I was struggling to figure out how to do this. And then I had to do my research and I found Andrew. John, he's the founder of True Digital Design. Him and his team over there were able to help me out build a mobile first, clean, beautiful website. And you know, the first thing you want to do in your new year, new you, is build a website for your business. So go over to True Digital Design, use the promo code HUSTLE, tell them that H4Hustle sent you, and get your website built over there. Those guys are amazing. Go check them out. It's True Digital Design. That's TRUDigitalDesigns.com. Now let's get back into the show. How did you manage working and then coming home and then working again? How did you turn off your brain from one thing to then go on do that? Like, can you walk how you that process of how you did that? Because I know my audience is going to be like, that sounds easier than possible. I have kids. I have this. I have that. Yeah. You know. So how were you able to do that? And how did you set up your calendar and set up your time?
Yep. So great question. I have 2 kids, I have 3 dogs, and I have a wife like any wife or any husband wants attention as well. Mm-hmm. So it was not easy or fun, but the pain of me working for somebody and building their business became so great that anything that I had to do to make it go away became my obsession. Mm. So I was working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week for years. I was like, I've got to figure this out. Like, I'm not stopping till I get to where I want to go. And what I've learned is consistency will set you free. You know, the joke is, now I told you initially 3 months, I'm going to make $80,000. Didn't happen. Yeah. I made negative money in 3 months, but the timeline isn't something you or I or anybody can control. It's unknown,
yeah.
Right? Me not being a patient person, it was a brutal experience to sit there and wait and wait and wait until that first person's like, hey, I'll pay you a couple grand to do this. And you're like, what? Okay. That lets me do this and this. Yeah. And you just have to be willing to commit to what you're doing long enough until you get some traction. So.
Got it. And I like that you said that consistency, because that's really what it is. It's just sticking and staying long enough and learning along the way. Like, you know, to make 80 grand in 3 months, you just didn't know what you didn't know. Right. And then correct. Now you know what you know. You're like, oh, I know how to make 80 grand. Like, it's so much yep. different now because you yep. know what you need to know. And was there a way that you managed your schedule at any point, like leaving, working a 9-to-5? When did you turn on what you were doing with other people? Is there a way that you like formulated?
It was pretty wild. So I had a long commute. The last job I worked at was about an hour each way. So I would actually take new business calls in the car on the way there. Mm-hmm. I would take an hour for lunch and work in the parking lot from my car in my business every day. And talk on the way home. I would literally, every second I didn't have to be working the day job, I was focused on the other thing.
Got it. So it was literally clients working in lunchtime, client yeah. drive on the drive home, you use that time as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, personal relationships suffer, didn't play any golf, didn't hunt and fish as much as I want to. I mean, you have to sacrifice. So my wife was always asking me, when are you going to make money? I mean, it was not a fun process, yeah. but I made it not fun because I made it as hard as I possibly could because I'm an idiot, apparently. But side hustle is the way to start. There's yeah. no reason to take away your ability to feed your family because you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So you got to suck it up and wait till it makes sense. So
that's such great advice right there. So, you know, how has entrepreneurship changed your life for the good and for the bad?
For me personally, I mean, it's definitely not for everybody. So for me, it's the only way I can function. I can't work for other people. So for me, it was absolutely essential. Entrepreneurship allows me, and I didn't even know this was important to me until I got it, a taste of it. But it allows me to express myself creatively. And that's something apparently very core to who I am. And what I mean is, if I used to do copywriting and writing for income, then I decided, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I can just stop because I said so. Mm-hmm. It's super powerful, man. It's super powerful and it's super important to keep me happy. Another thing I do is I don't like getting up early. So I'm in reindeer pajama pants right now. And I didn't get out of bed till 10:15 this morning, but I'll be up till 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm a night owl.
Yeah.
So I've been able to take complete control of my schedule and let clients know that this is when I'm available. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I'm not your guy. It's fine. But yeah. it's been a very positive thing for me and my family, but I can see there's a lot of things that people aren't ready for, you know, IRS or failure or chargebacks, or, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I started my first company, my first cleaning company, and I got that first letter from like the IRS. I was like, what?
Did
we do something wrong? Like, what yeah. happened? And yeah. it was literally just like a letter saying like, oh, you have to file this at this time. But, yep. you know, the first time you receive stuff like that, you just don't know what you don't know. So you think it's like the biggest thing on the planet. Yep.
I gotcha.
So where's your company at now? From you as a one-man team, do you have a team now? What does it look like?
Yeah, so it's my wife and I. My wife insists on staying behind the scenes, so she helps with social media and some other things. But there's 5 people on our team, and basically what they do is, most of what they do is we've got 2 blogs that go out a week, podcast that goes out every week. We've got, you know, client workspaces with Slack we maintain. So they really help keep everything away from me that isn't selling and doing what I do best. And I've got a couple understudies to learn kind of the architecture side of the business as well, so.
Got yep. it. Okay. And where do you see, I guess, your company next, you know, 3 to 5 years? This 2020 was a wild year for almost everyone, but like, yep. where do you see it in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years from now?
Yeah, I definitely see year-over-year growth. I think we're going to be transitioning more towards the coaching and strategy piece of the business. That's what I'm going to be putting my time into.
Okay.
So I can make a bigger impact and, you know, significantly increase our revenue. But I think the agency piece of the business will remain. I think I'll get away from smaller projects altogether.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of a time suck and a lot of times the one-time projects. There's just better ways to do it. So I see it growing that way. But the coaching and the strategy related stuff that we're doing is, you know, going to continue to grow, which would be a lot of fun.
Got it. I always tell early stage entrepreneurs to look for a service-based business.
Yep.
And you're in a service-based business. I always tell them it's the easiest way because you're mentally, you kind of understand trading time for money and yep. running your own service is kind of the same thing. Do you recommend that for a very early stage entrepreneurs to look for something that's more service-related?
Absolutely. So I have that conversation with some stubborn friends of mine all the time. They're like, no, I want to do MLM and build a full-time business or whatever they want to do. And it's like, why are you making it difficult? Don't reinvent the wheel. You know, a service for a business or an entrepreneur, there's tons of them out there that are in high demand even still. It's never going to go away. It's just going to keep increasing. But yeah, you can plug yourself into that right away. But selling, you know, service is a good idea. And then once you get some experience, you can sell your knowledge to other people who were you were a year ago and do some coaching and some consulting as well.
Got it. Yeah, it's 100% spot on because you're getting paid to actually learn. You know, my first business was a cleaning business. And I'll be honest with you, we didn't really know how to clean that well. But, you know, every time somebody hired us, you got to learn how to clean a little bit better and a little bit better. And then before you know it, you can leverage out that experience on teaching others too. There's a lot of people who listen to this podcast, and a lot of the biggest issue that they have is fear, right? Yeah. They're stuck in this 9-to-5 job. They want to make that transition, but they haven't fully committed. What advice would you give that person who's stuck in fear and they stuck on like they haven't quite made that decision yet? What would be the grand advice you give them?
I love the question. I've thought about this and talked about this a lot. It's super important to me. I love this. I know where your mind's at, audience. I've been there many times. I find that the fear, the biggest part of the fear is the idea of the worst case scenario. If I leave this, I'll lose my security or whatever the case is. If you think about it, being an employee isn't that secure. You have one income stream.
Yeah.
That goes away. You're in trouble. And what people always said, and I used to say, is what about taxes and insurance? You just buy it. You just buy your own insurance. It's not that scary, especially when you're getting started. You're going to make less money as an entrepreneur. So the marketplace, as an example, will help pay towards your plans and you can get very affordable plans that are actually good. So the taxes and insurance thing sounds way scarier than it actually is. So when you actually, like when I actually look back, the things that kept me from doing it sooner were all in my head and not actual obstacles that I faced. I think the other big piece of the fear is, what will other people say? What will my spouse, my friends, my family, my neighbors say? Well, if they're not entrepreneurs, they're probably going to be not in favor of the idea.
100%.
So be very careful who you share your dreams with, right? If I need plumbing work done to my house, I'm not going to go ask the local ice cream parlor what I should do about my plumbing. So it doesn't make any sense. Right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. If I ask my mom about entrepreneurship, she's the worst person I can ask because she hasn't been there.
Yeah.
So ask the right person for what you're wanting to know. But that would be my advice.
Got it. That's solid advice. You know, the other part of that is the person who is like, they've jumped out there, they've tried, and just like yourself, they failed. They ran right back to the corporate job, but still they're not happy there. What advice would you give that person? Because, you know, sometimes they take that failure as like, I wasn't meant to be an entrepreneur. You know, you went out there, said you're going to make $80,000 in, you know, 3 months and then had to, you know, suck it back up and figure it out again. So what advice would you give that person?
Advice would be keep failing. So the person who doesn't fail is living a super safe, super limited life, and you're probably going to look back at the end and have a lot of regrets. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to have any regrets. So I fail daily. I fail weekly. I fail all the time. Failed courses, failed launches, failed services. But you know what the good thing? I can look back and say, I've been there, and I walked away with this new knowledge, this new angle. I either stuck with it until I found success or I decided I didn't really want to do it anyway. So failure is a litmus test that tells you you're trying something.
Yeah.
Keep failing forward, my friends.
Perfect. That's such solid advice. We're in 2021, but 2020 was a trying year for all. What would say the biggest lesson you learned out of 2021 personally and business?
For a lot of people just looking around, I thought, man, if you're not heavily involved with making money online, you're missing out.
Yeah.
And I think it's a powerful lesson that everybody has seen. Some people were prepared. Some weren't. A lot of people weren't. But if this has happened once, don't think it can't happen again. Mm-hmm. Focus on making money online. You know, the brick and mortar, is there a place in our world? Yeah. But is the place diminishing every day? It is. Yeah. It's not the same world I grew up in. So all I need is a phone or a computer and some Wi-Fi or some signal to make money. And you guys should be thinking about things in the same way. And don't think of online making money online as making money easily, because it's not necessarily the same thing at all. But there's, it's put out there too much, you know. There's too much bad information out there.
Yeah, and there's too much like get it fast, or that, you know, you can turn your phone into $1 million thing. It's like, well, it's going to take some head bumping to kind of figure out where to go from there. But I definitely agree with you. And then personally, what was a lesson that you learned from 2020?
Just more of the lesson of patience with things. You know, we had a little bit of a weird month in March, and August was a slow month, but the rest of the year was good. So patience is not one of my strengths. Anytime I have life teaches me patience, it's always a challenge for me. So
2021 was a collective patience for everybody, because I definitely went through it as well. Like the first 3 months I was literally like a caged bird, just ready to like jump out the window, trying to figure it out. So definitely good advice. Is there a book or resource that helped you along your way? It could be multiple books or multiple resources that you can recommend to the audience for them to check out.
Yeah. So at my bookshelf's in front of me, there's a few that I really liked. Just really setting up my mind for saying, you know what, my limitation is the belief I have limitations, you know. Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, is a great book. We've got Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People is another one I really like. Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Just some of those foundational books that are timeless. They're that way for a reason.
Yeah.
Really good books. And then the books by Russell Brunson, .com Secrets, Expert Secrets. All of that stuff kind of in the marketing realm for every business are awesome as well.
Yeah, the ClickFunnels book, even if you don't use ClickFunnels, the .com Secrets is a really good book just for like little strategies and things that you can actually do. I mean, granted, if you do lose ClickFunnels, it does extend a little bit better. But even if you don't, there's still a lot of ticks and trips in there that I definitely recommend. So if somebody wants to reach out to you and they want to reach out to your company, they're listening, they're like, I definitely need some help with my ClickFunnels structure and like building out my business. How can they reach out to you? How can they find you?
Yep. Intentionallyinspirational.com. That's the place to go, and that'll lead you anywhere you want to go, my friends. So if you have any questions about anything, feel free to reach out. I'm very available in that way.
Got it. And you also have a podcast you mentioned. What is your podcast about if they want to click over there and listen as well?
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's also called Intentionally Inspirational. So we jump on there and talk about entrepreneurship, we talk about marketing, we talk about business in general, and sometimes we just talk about whatever's going on in our business. So it's a mix of myself and guests, and sometimes just multiple hosts as well, as we mix it up a little bit.
Got it. Okay, cool. And just like that, guys, another illustrious episode is in the can. I would love to know what you guys thought of this episode. What was the big takeaways that you got from Jason's story? One of the biggest things that I liked is that he had to go back into corporate America, because that happens sometimes, and it just shows that path isn't always the smoothest. And he was able to figure it out, and that's one of the biggest parts I like about the story. Let me know what you learned from it, what you took away from the story today. Go on Instagram, H for Hustle Podcast. You know, follow me. I am Jerome Fenton. Let me know what you think of this episode. I'm going to wrap it up, guys. Like usual, I'm going to wrap it up with the quote, "The game is going to test you. Never fold. Stay 10 toes down. It's not on you, it's in you. And what's in you, they can't take away." Peace. Boom.